The first reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It's all about rules for holy living. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42.
Glory to God.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
When we hear the Gospel reading, some of us may feel that Jesus was a bit harsh towards Martha. After all, she really did her very best to make Jesus welcome. And haven't we heard in the prophets, for example, even last week, that action is important, that nice words are not good enough. But rather than seeing Jesus' words as a telling off of Martha, we could hear in them an invitation, not only an invitation to Martha at her time, but also to us. After all, Martha was busy with the work of the Lord, serving him, and that is a good thing. It needs doing. No meal will get on the table by just talking about it. But are we, like Martha, sometimes too busy even with the work of the Lord? Do we sometimes need the invitation to slow down, to enjoy the encouragement of Jesus? Do we sometimes need the time to just sit at Jesus' feet, to listen to him, but also to bring our questions and our worries to Jesus. This even applies to activities we do for church, the work we do for Jesus. Maybe we can even do too much church work at times, whether it is caring about church property, doing fundraisers, or planning social events. Now, I don't want to discourage any of that, of course, but at times we are called by Jesus to just enjoy being in his presence. At times a Bible study may help us in that, or purposeful reflection may help us to listen to Jesus. But at times maybe we just also need to allow ourselves to be just still. When I first came to New Zealand a few years ago, the normal question the supermarket checkout operator would ask me was, "How are you?" The normal expected response was, yeah, I'm good." And even though many people were struggling, it was the expected thing to have a good life and to be happy. There weren't many that would respond, "I'm not that great, really. Let me tell you about my struggles now." Well, I've noticed that this question at the checkout has changed, at least when serving a middle-aged man like me. Maybe it's different with you. But now it seems the supermarket checkout operator often asks, "Busy day?" And the normal expected response is, yes, quite busy. Sometimes we can even say why we're busy that day. Work is just crazy and I also have to go shopping for my parents and the kids and all that. Well, now and then I've replied to the question, "Busy day?" "Not really. It hasn't been a very busy day at all, and I got to spend quite a bit of time with my children." But that wasn't that well received, because the expectation is for people to be busy, to always be doing something. If it isn't work, then it must be family commitments. If it's not family commitments, then it must be some entertainment, like going out or going to the gym or the movie or something like that. It seems that our society is expecting people to be busy. If you're busy, you're someone. You're contributing to the economy. And because influential people are so busy, we often copy that. In all that busyness, the real joy of life and the meaning of life may be lost. Now, if you looked at our Anglican Life magazine, which we've still got some copies of there, there was an article by Eddie O'Connor, the director of the Sister Eveline Retreat House in there as well. And he wrote that it is incredibly challenging for many of us not to do work. Of course, at retreats, that's exactly what we are encouraged to do. Nevertheless, he still finds people sneaking away on working on their laptops. Many people do not know how to turn off these days. We think time spent on unproductive activity or inactivity is wasted time, and taking a retreat is either self-indulgent or lazy. The busier and more hectic our lives are, the more we need time to rest and listen to what God is saying at this moment. For those who tuned into the seminar with Richard Black this past week, you would have also heard how important it is at this time when we are stressed and so over COVID in a sense, and when there's so much worldwide gloom, how important it is to take time out, to be in God's presence, and also to hang on to those things that give us a frame of reference. Richard Black called them anchor points. In all the uncertainty and change, we need to hang on to some things, to rejoice in the few things that do not change. Maybe our family, our church, our hobby, our reading, and as Christians, most importantly, our faith and relationship with God. What better anchor can there be than Jesus, who invites us to come to him and put our burdens on him? Well, we all know the much used phrase that sometimes we need to stop and smell the roses. There's something of that, I think, in Jesus' invitation to Mary. But of course, it's a lot more. It's an invitation to come to the source of life, the light of the world, and to hear the words of God. It is an invitation to be refreshed, to be equipped for the journey. Those who have put their trust in Jesus are invited to come to him again and again, so that they can drink of God's love and reorientate themselves to what has real value. So this invitation, I think, is one aspect of our reading. And I think it's quite relevant in our uncertain and busy world. I want to mention something else which I think is in there and is connected specifically to our reading from the letter to the Colossians. For our time with Jesus, our listening to the words of Jesus should not leave us unchanged. It should refocus us to make us ready for life in this world, a life with an eternal perspective. Paul says, "Since you have been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." I don't think that Paul or the gospel reading meant that we should forsake all work on earth and spend our time here in prayer and meditation only. For some people that may be the case, and some people are called to constant prayer and reflection. But I think most of us are called to an active life here on earth. You probably have heard it said that some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Well, I would like to challenge that in a sense, because it's exactly those people who are heavenly minded that can achieve much earthly good. Many Christians who brought about very real social change or brought very material help here on earth did so exactly because they were heavenly minded. They had the hope of heaven in them and therefore also made this earth a little bit more heaven-like. When we are grounded in Jesus, then we cannot be controlled by the powers of this world. Then things like lust, impurity, greed, anger, slander, denigrating language, well, just a few of the things that Paul mentioned, they cannot dominate us. But of course, we cannot do this on our own strength. We need to be constantly renewed by Jesus, need to seek his face. Otherwise, whatever is heavenly in us gets swamped by the all too worldly. Only through Jesus can we also bring some of the peace of heaven into our own lives and to those around us. So I hope that we can see in Jesus' invitation to Martha also an invitation to ourselves, an invitation to both rest and then also to renewed action. Such action flows more from our renewed orientation towards Jesus rather than our own painful effort to do the right thing. It is exactly because we are called to embody the peace of Christ in this world that we are also called to come to Jesus and experience that peace ourselves.